About 4 weeks ago, I went to the Station Hotel at Hither Green for the Christmas lunch for local clergy. It was a good occasion, and I was glad to meet up with others working in other churches in our neighbourhood. One of them was Steve Hall, the vicar of St Mary's in Lewisham, who told me about two words which are being used more and more in the Church of England. And these words are the words mutual flourishing. I like these words, and although they were first used in connection with the ordination of women bishops, they're now being used more widely. I welcome this because mutual flourishing sums up much of what the Christian church is meant to be, which is a community of people, local, national, and international, with everybody concerned to work and to grow together in the best ways that are possible. There's a lot about mutual flourishing in the New Testament, and although the Bible doesn't use these exact words, they perfectly describe what is taught in many places. A prime example is in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, and it's from this letter that we heard our first reading. We heard the opening words of chapter 12, and in this chapter in the two that follow, it's all about mutual flourishing. And I'm hoping that we can look briefly at these chapters in these coming minutes. We won't do this in great detail, but I trust that we'll get the big picture. Here then is the first main point that I want to draw out, that mutual flourishing happens when Christians see that God is the God of diversity. In other words, in the Christian church, we're all given special and different gifts by God so that we can each make our own unique contribution to the common good. Every single one of us here in church this morning, every person in the world is a unique human being, which means that there is no one else here on earth who is exactly like me and exactly like you. Each one of us is quite literally unique, and our personal DNA, with its infinite number of variables, confirm this. I don't know whether you saw on the breakfast program this morning, they had something medical, and this was new to me. There's something inside us which numbers a million trillion, sort of whatever they are, a million trillion something or others inside each one of us. Just amazing. I'd never heard that before. And our individual characters, situations, and life journeys, along with our own personal relationships with our parents, siblings, and other people, they are all different to those of other people. Our faces and our mannerisms are particular to each one of us, which enables us to recognize one another. Even with twins who seem to be absolutely identical, there are subtle differences. And these become more and more obvious as life goes on, which all ties up with our reading this morning that God gives different gifts to different Christians. To one, the gift of wisdom, to another, the gift of faith, to others, various gifts of healing, and so on. Now, it's quite true that God may give a healing gift to literally millions of Christians, but the way in which that healing gift will be exercised will be unique to every Christian who has them, which means that every Christian here in church this morning has a contribution to make. I have a contribution to make. You have a contribution to make that cannot possibly be made in exactly the same way by anyone else. So if your gift is administration or helping or teaching, you will do this in your own special way. No one can do it exactly like you. And that's why every contribution in the Christian church is important for its mutual flourishing. I'm unique, you're unique, and your own special gift from God is part of the wonderfully diverse world that God has created. This is something that we're to welcome, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of other people as well. Because other people have gifts from God that we will not and cannot possibly have, because no one can have them all. which means that not only are we to be aware of our own gifting, we're to be more and more aware of the gifting of others. And I'll say a bit more about this at the end of the talk. But for now, let's move to a second main point, which is that mutual flourishing happens as Christian people use their gifts and receive from the gifts of others in the service of one another and in the service of a needing world. In other words, Christian flourishing is about more and more unique people like us making our contributions and receiving from others so that all are strengthened. And that brings God's blessings to more and more people as well. And the picture which Paul gives us in the second half of chapter 12 is of the human body, made up of many different parts, arms, legs, eyes, ears, and so on, and more complicated things as we're discovering more and more. And Paul says in verse 21 and the following verses, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Of course not, because every part of the human body is important. And Paul goes on to say that if one part suffers, the whole body suffers. And if one part is honored, then the whole body is honored. Which all confirms that mutual flourishing is about Christian people valuing one another. We're in the week of prayer for Christian unity, and Christian unity is always unity in diversity. It's about mutual interdependence, mutual support, working together as a team, contributing to its success, not only by our own personal efforts, but also by drawing on the strengths of others, so that together we are supporting one another and working together to the fullest possible extent. To give you another illustration, it's all like footballers in a good football team, actively responding to the different skills amongst them, affirming them and working with each other, feeding off one another so as to win the game. Different skills are needed in a successful football team. After all, it's no use having a world-class goalkeeper in your goal if you haven't got others who can defend, others who can work the ball upfield, and then strikers who can put the ball in the net at the other end. So I say it again, that not only do we need to know our own personal contribution to the life of God's church, it's also necessary that we know the skills that others have, the gifts that others have, so that we can strengthen and support one another in his service. That's a vital part of mutual flourishing. Let's move to main point number three. Mutual flourishing is always about growing and acting in love for others and for their benefit. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is probably the most famous chapter in the Bible, the chapter about love, often used at weddings, but often it is forgotten the context in which this chapter is written. It comes in the middle of these three chapters about mutual flourishing. And the main point is that without love, there will be no true mutual flourishing. So love is the glue that holds all mutual flourishing together. I think it's true that we human beings feel most comfortable with people who are similar to us. That's understandable, but it has its dangers. There's a book called Going to Extremes, which is about group polarization, if those words mean anything to you. It's about our human tendency to become more and more extreme when we discuss subjects with others who are of like mind. This can happen in the Christian church. It has sadly happened again and again in the Christian church. And the antidote is love, the love that reaches beyond our comfort zones to those Christians who are different to us, who see things in ways that we do not, and who have things to teach us and give us that we would not otherwise receive. And if I can give you my own personal testimony on this, I have been vicar of three churches. I obviously was caught up in the life of those three churches over the years. I didn't often go anywhere else. But in my retirement, I've had the immense privilege of going to churches of many different traditions. I think in my younger days, I had a tendency to criticize of churches not like me. I find now that I go to churches to receive what they have that I have not got, and my tradition has not got, and I have been immensely enriched by that. Doesn't mean we'll never disagree with other Christians, of course not. Doesn't mean there'll never be any tensions and difficulties. There will need to be honest and sometimes painful conversations. There'll need to be patience. And sometimes there will need to be an agreement to disagree. But without love that's willing to reach out beyond our comfort zone to listen and to try and build trust, little progress is going to be made. The more I think about all this, the more I see that these three chapters apply not only to mutual flourishing in the Christian church, they apply also to marriage and to family life. Mum, dad, and 2.4 children. There are principles here that apply to the workplace, to local communities, and indeed to this whole matter of Brexit. You smile, proving, as we well know, more and more complicated at this time. I'm not going to use this pulpit to give you my own personal views about the way forward. That would be an abuse of the preacher's responsibilities. But I simply suggest to you that there are principles in these chapters which can usefully be applied to this whole Brexit business. Now, as I finish, I want to return to my main point and to the matter of the special and unique gifting that God has given to each one of us. I'm very grateful for your attention this morning, and I have some homework for you to take away with you after this service. I emphasize it is entirely voluntary. I'm not going to demand to see it and mark it next Sunday. It's also entirely private, and you can use it completely privately. Though please feel free to talk about anything in this homework with me or with Bridget or with Sarah or with anyone else. Let me read you a bit. Bridget and I have been working on this during this last week. Gifts from God, a checklist which may help those who wonder what their gifts might be. Only a guide and certainly not infallible. To use this checklist, put a tick against those statements which seem to apply to you, and then turn to the key to see what gifts from God you may have. I'll read a few. When there is a practical job to be done, like moving chairs, giving out hymn books, or helping at an event, I find that I usually get involved and enjoy it. When I'm faced with a difficult situation or problem, I often find that an answer comes to me and it seems to help other people. I love to sing, I'm looking at the choir, or to play an instrument. I like to be able to use my skills in Christian worship. I tend to find it easy to learn a new tune, a new hymn or song of worship. When somebody gets ill, I instinctively want to pray for them, and I know it's something that other people appreciate. Sometimes their health improves in a significant way beyond their expectations. I like to work my way through projects, etc. In daily life, I want to talk as appropriate to other people about my faith in Christ, and so on. And there are how many? There are 37 possibilities that might describe you. And if you put your tick against one, you then look at the key, and it might give you an indication of your particular kind of gift. And this homework, this voluntary private homework, is available at the back of the church after the service, and I hope you'll pick it up and at least have a look at it, even if you don't necessarily want to do it, or perhaps keep it for later and have a go at it. And as you do this, it can be very helpful. You can use it in relation to yourself, but you can also use it in relation to thinking about other people. Who do I know in this church? And what might be their particular gifts? Because if others have got gifts that can strengthen you, if we let them. And mutual flourishing, as we've been seeing, is not only about what we can give to others, but also about what we can receive from others. And may all of us be those who give and receive in love, so that the Christian church will flourish for the benefit of more and more people and for the glory of God. Amen.